This is feedback for Sean Baker. Sean, first and foremost, thank you for letting us into your story. And I pray that, what you hear is, and pray that God would speak through us into your story and propel you into what God has for you next. So, one thing I see, just following the structure, what do I see as the effect of your life, the glory, the splendor, the brilliance of your life? It's undeniable. One thing that's undeniable to me is your heart for other people, and the caring for other people, particularly in vulnerable positions. Like, you care for people who are sick or have experienced like trauma, and I think that's is a gift and a calling. Not everyone can do that, and it seems like you're competent at that. You've done that well, and that's definitely something that, as we've heard in your story, happens in a clinical environment, but I imagine that happens in like other environments too. There was the story, the incident was a non-clinical environment. Someone was injured, and your instinct was to rush to their side. Not everybody does that. So I hope you see like the glory and uniqueness in that. And just another way I put, you're like a medic for trauma. Additionally, you didn't talk about it as much, but just listening to your story, I feel like another aspect of the glory of your life is, I feel like there's a fun-loving, like lighthearted aspect of you that I felt like it was there, but I didn't hear enough about it. Like the background with the music, the DJing, the wanting to entertain and lift people up. And maybe sometimes it found outlets that through partying that may not have been the most healthy outlet, but it's still there in you. Like it's, I imagine, I could be wrong, but I could imagine you enjoy like bring a lightheartedness to a party or to a function in a group, and I can see you being a fun guy in that aspect. And I, to the extent that that's true, I hope that like stays at the surface and that you express that. I do. What do I sense maybe coming against you and your glory, your calling? I feel like, relatively speaking, you're young in your faith. Is that fair? That's fair to say. And I feel like there's much like enthusiasm in growing that, which is incredible. And I think that's part of the good that God is up to. Like you're at a critical stage. That enthusiasm is fuel to help growing. And I think the enemy knows that and would do, there's the parable about the seed, some falling on the rocky ground, some on good soil, some like the bird took away, some was choked out by the thistles. And I feel like the enemy wants to do whatever he can to keep the seed from taking root in good soil. Ways I think that may be happening is through lies. So some of these transitions or setbacks in your life, the message may get communicated that you're a screw up. I think that's a lie. So don't try not to internalize that as I'm a screw up. I feel like the enemy is twisting this message on like caregiving, where that's something, it's part of your glory and you give to others, but there's like a whisper saying, hey, who's going to take care of you? And sure, like there's, we all want a companion and a friend and someone like there, by our side, like a soulmate or whatever, and that's a good desire. But how, you know, the role they play and how you go about finding that can get like twisted and corrupted as well. So affirming the desire for that, but I feel like the enemy wants to twist it. So it's like, you know, you feel like you're missing out, or you're, yeah, just be careful with that message, I think. I think in your most recent role, removing you from direct patient care, I don't think was a good. I feel like your glory is displayed more when you have direct contact with patients and you can connect with them face to face, eye to eye. In this last role, your probably was not good for you. It wasn't a great experience, but maybe as Gary talked about, that was necessary. To show you that my desire is over here, not here. And I think the enemy wants you to find validation in either your career or a certain companion, or perhaps through your father, your earthly father. And we all want to be validated and affirmed by our earthly father, and we may or may not receive that. So when we don't, I think God wants you to receive your ultimate validation from Him, from your Heavenly Father. This is just something else that stood out to me, and I wouldn't say it's necessarily something like coming against you, but you in your story, that you have a familiarity with like suicide and a proximity to suicide. You've experienced it. It was the incident after the bar. It was your ex-wife's mm-hmm. brother. Mm-hmm. It seemed like there was maybe even another, if it's something that seemed like just close. Mm-hmm. I think just find ways to process that. What does it mean when you have that proximity to that and in your work, proximity to trauma, or people dealing with actual physical wounds and ailments. I think be careful not to internalize that, but find healthy outlets to process that so that it's not internalized and you're not carrying that. It's like you almost need a decompression chamber. I just can't imagine being in the role you're in. It's like being a paramedic or something. You see a lot of terrible stuff. You got to have a healthy way to process that. I don't know what that looks like, but I think it's necessary. And what is God up to you? One, I feel like God is calling you to cease striving and to find rest in Him. A scripture that Gary shared last, Proverbs 19:2, says, "He who hurries his footsteps errs." So don't be too hasty. In career-wise or companion-wise, because if you're trying too hard to find the right companion, you will probably going to attract the wrong partner. So he wants to call you cease striving and become settled, like be settled in who you are in Him. Get your validation, and then you'll probably attract the right healthy partner. Another scripture that comes to mind, Hebrews 6:19, talks about this hope we have as an anchor for the soul. So in our faith. So, yeah, I want you to find your hope and find that anchor, that settledness, like in God, in your faith. And, yeah, I feel like that's what God is up to. He wants you to be settled and secure in Him, and out of that, you know, your glory will just flourish more.
I completely enjoyed listening to your story. And I thank you for sharing with us some of that. So looking at this page kind of helped keep me focused here. Some significant points that I heard in your story was, again, the journeyman that you are. You've been in so many different places. I look up at your picture board, and I just keep coming back to Cavu, that's where you're heading, but you've been battered. You've been battered on the battlefield, but you're not going to stay there. That's what I know. I'll get to that. That's some of what God is up to. One of your quotes was from your story was, "I'm tired of being hurt." I see you having deep care and compassion for others. You're a man that was born to heal others. God put that in you. And the hurt that you've experienced is going to be used to heal others and set others free. It's just like the movie Narnia, where they were bombing and they were using that, like the enemy was using that. And then they were using that, those bombs from the birds, right? It's the same. Satan can try to take you out in that way, but God's going to turn that and give you the right interpretation of those hurt, because you can feel other people's hurt and you can feel other people's pain. You've got empathy deep in you, and the enemy's lying to you, saying that, oh, somebody, you need to be taken care of. You need to be taken care of, and you're never gonna get right. How could you possibly heal others when you're so twisted right now? That's a lie from hell. And you can renounce that. And you can just, in Jesus' name, that goes. I see you, this question, who have you experienced this man to truly be just in these 2 days? I see how loving you are. I see how loyal you are. I mean, this speaks to the dog pictures. I mean, unconditional love, as you voiced. That's what your heart desires, and that's what you give to others. And one of the best things that I've heard in that respect is, if you want that friend, be that friend. So it does, in a way, start with you, but don't let, from here on, don't let Satan beat you up that, oh, you're never going to have that loyal friend. You're just going to be alone, because that's where I see some of the assaulting coming at you. Right. You're alone. No one's here to take care of you. Boo-hoo-hoo. You left Canada 18 years ago, right? And here you are all alone. That's a lie from hell.
Yeah.
God is right here with you. He's right here with you. And no one takes that away. And Satan's lies cannot take that away. One of your quotes was, you had the world by the balls. And you were speaking of partying, you were speaking of being with girls, that kind of thing. I think you need to search into that. This is just something that I was thinking about and praying about, whether I should bring this up, but I feel like it's good. Although that was a fun time, although there's good memories, there may be a misinterpretation that was real life, that was the good times. The good times are to come, because now you're walking with Jesus.
Right.
That was boyhood. A lot of that was foolishness, and we can relate. But that wasn't real life. And so don't let Satan lie to you, saying, oh yeah, just get back to those days. Where's all the fun? Where's all the beer? And where's all the music, right? And I feel like one of the things that God is up to in your life is, you don't need to escape anymore to beer and music. I'm not saying you don't drink. I have beer too. I like music. But those aren't going to be your go-tos anymore. Right. It's going to be Him.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to fill that void.
Right.
That's one of the things I think He's up to. Yep, I've gone through the lies. And I think another one of the lies, one of the assaults coming against you, is that you're never going to have that connection with your dad like you used to. You said the distance was hard, made it really hard, and you just haven't felt that connection in a long, long time. That relationship, that bond, that connection can be healed as well. It just may take time. And it's going to take intentionality on your part. It's going to take intentionality on his part. I'm not sure how that'll all work out, but that's something you and your father take care of. And last thing I just want to say, he wants your heart to be alive and to live free. And he promises to walk right alongside you in that as you live more wholeheartedly and live free.
Okay, those are great guys. Sean, I'm going to echo a lot of what was said. You and I think we got an immediate bond when we met each other. I don't know how that happened or why that happened, but there was an immediate bond. And maybe God put us here for that reason. And I think we have to believe that. But I see you as a very loving, a very caring, a very sensing person, very sensitive person that wants to take care of people and loves taking care of people and has this unbelievable desire to bring things out in people that I don't see very often, and heal people. So it's very, very cool. I know that you want a partner, friendship. I hope I'm going to be one of those friends going down the road. I'd have to echo Chris's words in being patient and finding your partner. They will come at the right time. And so surround yourselves with guys that love Christ and friends, and they'll help the growth. I don't know how you do it. You've been around a lot of death. Suicide, and it rips my heart out to know what you've seen. It's scary, and that's a symbol of strength. That is a symbol of strength that you can be there, and you rushed out on the street for that woman who just got killed, to see and help her. It was too late. But the way you did that was just unbelievable. Unbelievable. There's so many people that would stand on the sidelines and not go out. You didn't. So that's that loving, that caring, that sensing. I think that there is a fear of the unknown. I think that you want to learn more about God. And unknown doesn't have to do just with God. I think it has to do with a lot of your aspects in your life. Your child growing up. How are you going to take care of her? How are you going to take care of the house? What's next in your life? And I think that's very scary for you. And rightly so. But in the midst of all that, you've got to put God in the middle. God has to be in the middle of that. And you have to trust. And I think that's going to come with time. So, you know, the death and that kind of stuff is what I see is affecting your glory. I mean, I think that's painful. I think it's very painful. So, what's coming? What do I think God's up to this part of your journey. I think that God has a desire for you to begin trusting Him and beginning to learn more about a relationship with Him and getting to know what God desires for your heart. I think that's, and I think you want that same relationship. So it's it's neat that you have those desires to want a relationship with God. And you know, I would encourage you to start getting into Scripture every morning and spend a little bit of quiet time with God. It can be a very powerful tool. There were a couple scripture verses that came up when I looked at this and I started thinking about you. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, verses 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding.
I do that a lot.
And 2 Corinthians 5, 17 is another one that really kind of resonated with me. Therefore, anyone who's in Christ is a new creation. The new creation has come. The old is gone. So you've got to let the old and the past go away. You are a new creation. And let the Lord guide you.